Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Stokely and Zach.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Art and love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing, part-time Stokely?
I'm back!
You're back?
Yeah. And I'm going to deliver better than Cam Newton delivered.
Oh.
You feel me? You feel me? I'm not going to say I'm back and not deliver.
They left you to die.
When I say I'm back, I'm going to come in to dominate.
Okay? Yeah, you're
back.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it.
You know, Big Perm taking a shot at me on the text line already.
What's Big Perm saying?
Roby Day, you know, question mark. Shoot, Stokely week. One day on, 4 days off.
You know, there is kind of a rhythm to it.
Yeah, and that's well, I've been good this year.
No, you haven't.
What?
You haven't.
You know what?
Is this like one of your grade your own papers?
100 A+. It's gotten kind of convoluted here, Zach. When you take a couple days and then you got Thanksgiving,
right?
I didn't take Thursday, Friday off. Those are mandatory days off.
You took Monday off, I think, or Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah,
it was Tuesday. But that was Mark Schlereth's fault. He screwed me. I was planning on working. I was supposed to do the morning show, and all of a sudden his trip got canceled. I got hosed, so that was on Mark. Now, this week,
you could have canceled golf and came into work. If you want to, let's paint the whole picture here. You're like, you're doing your own paint by number here.
That side of the story, right? Okay? Well, it sounds a lot better when I tell the story, all right?
I'd say watch your ass.
And this week, you know, look, I got a senior in high school looking to schools,
right?
And so, you know, wasn't a relaxing couple days off. So some things you just got to do, and did that, and glad we did it and had fun and glad to be back. Now, the next couple days,
you're screaming, you're back.
That's on me.
You're back like a Black Friday sale for a limited time only.
That's right. Hey, I got to send a big shout out to you, Zach. Congrats, buddy. I haven't been here.
Thanks, man.
Man, so happy for you, Ashley Owen. Had your baby girl.
Baby Mia.
Baby Mia. And, you know, I was very humbled by you taking her middle name after my middle name. That humbled me, and
I should have seen this coming.
A big smile on my face, but you, Mia Ray, and I'm Brandon Ray, and so that's that means a lot to me.
You know, you deserve it. You deserve it. Your name's going to live on for another generation.
That's right.
To pass that thing down like an heirloom.
Congrats, buddy. Fired up for you, man. That's so awesome. I know it was a really stressful time there, and but glad.
Those C-sections are no joke, by the way. Oh, my gosh. In my own head, I'm just like, C-section, it's on the schedule. Mm. A little incision, take the baby out, sew her up.
Maybe don't TMI.
I was looking over at the thing, like, why are your organs outside your body?
Whoa, goodness, stop. Holy cow.
No, it was intense, and my wife is just such a trooper, seriously. I mean, these women, your wife, my wife, I mean, they deserve all the credit in the world, the doctors, just the team at Sky Ridge. It was great, man, but it's stressful. We're home now. We got help. My sister-in-law, Brittany, who's just great, a rock star helping out at home. So I figured this was the week to come into work.
Yeah.
Like, not take off like the direct week after when you have help. She's going to go home. My wife still can't, like, next week won't be able to drive a car and lift stuff. So I'll just be at home next week. So maybe pop in and do a segment, record a podcast or something. But next week is the week that I'll take off. So it's good to be here with you, though. I'm glad that you're back. And, I mean, gosh, we have so much to get to. There's,
I mean, the game Sunday. It's just wow.
What did you think was going to happen coming in, and what was your reaction following a, what was it, 28-13 W?
Yeah, I mean, I thought going in that they would get beat. That's what they've shown me all year, really, at home, in a big game at home, a division game. What's going to happen? The Broncos are going to lay an egg. That's what they do, right? That's what they have done. So, yeah, I was very surprised with their performance. They dominated that football game.
They did.
This is the football team, Zach. This is the football team I picked to go 10-7. They just haven't shown up enough. This was the recipe. This is what I thought I was going to see more consistently. Play great defense. Get some turnovers. Get after the quarterback. Make him look uncomfortable. Oh, on the flip side, what are we going to do? We're going to run the football. We're going to control the game. We're going to control the clock. We're going to play bully ball. We're just going to bully him. And then Teddy make a few plays. Teddy threw for what, 129?
Yeah.
129?
129 and one.
That's it.
No turnovers.
I know he missed a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But we're just going to take care of the football, minus Drew Lock, and we're going to run it. We're going to make a few plays with Teddy, and we're going to play great defense. We're going to get some turnovers. That's how we're going to win. That was the recipe. And it was lined up for 10-7 for me. This is how I viewed this year.
Well, here's the thing, Stoke. If just one thing changes over the last 11 games, if just one thing changes, the Broncos would be 10-7. Like, if you would have handled business in Pittsburgh, 10-7 is still in play. If you would have handled business at home against a Raiders team that was in disarray, you would have a chance of being 10-7.
What do you mean?
Like,
what do you mean would?
Whoa.
It's not done yet.
It's not done.
But you're acting like it is.
I think it is. I don't think the Broncos would be 10-7.
Well, I mean, but it's not done. It's not a wrap.
It's not done. It's definitely not done.
But you're right. I know where you're going. You're right when you say, look, the Raiders game, I mean, come on. That was the one I look at and say, the Raiders aren't that good.
They're not.
Right? They're not that good. You had them at home, and you let them off the hook with everything that they had going on. That's the one to me that I really look at and say, you screwed that one up.
There's another one that's
to haunt you.
There's another one that's the stepbrother of the Raiders game.
Oh, the stepbrother. Mm-hmm. The Eagles?
Yeah. Eagles are
a good football team now.
Eagles are a fine team, but yeah. At home in a game that you're favored in with a first-year starting quarterback and a rookie head coach,
right.
You should have won that game.
You're right.
And
did you watch the Eagles this week on the road against the Giants? Just lay an egg?
I mean,
they laid an egg.
I picked against them and was firing at that board on Sunday. And good.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. I was waiting for the Eagles to come down. I'm like, these guys are not.
I mean, Jalen Reagor got to catch a ball. They win it.
Yeah.
They win it.
Yeah.
He had a ball hit off his helmet or something. That was a tough catch. But he had a ball on fourth down that he caught 1 yard line right through his hands. Right through his hands. They just got to catch a stinking ball. So, but the Eagle, you're right.
Jalen Hurst threw 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
He just, look, but anyway, go back. Like, if you're, what are the Broncos, 6-5? If you either beat the Raiders at home.
This is every year,
Philly,
though, Zach. This is every year. And I've told you this. This is every year. We can't play this game, but it's hard not to.
It's hard not to.
You look back and you look at a few games and say, but then also you look at, oh, well, we beat the Cowboys on the road.
So there's games like that also.
We weren't expecting that one.
Good point.
But to be a good team and to get where you want to get, you can't lose to the Raiders and the Eagles at home.
Right.
So you're on it.
And if just one of those things is different, you're not 6-5, you're 7-4, and you just got to find 3 wins. You got Detroit at home. You got Cincy at home. You still got the Raiders again. You got the Chargers again. I mean, it would have been very, very attainable. I got to tie one half my brain behind my back to think that they can get to 10 wins. But, hey, I'm willing to be proven wrong here.
I think they can. I'm not predicting it because they have betrayed my trust. Okay, so I'm not going to go out and say, oh, yeah, I think they're going to win 10 games. That's a little bit ridiculous. But it's possible. It is possible.
It is possible.
And it's not like, oh, my gosh, you got to hit the Powerball here.
No, it's not.
It's not. It, It's not that difficult. I mean, it's difficult, but it's not like Powerball. It's not, you can't get this thing done.
No.
Because they can. I've seen them play on the road against really good football teams, a football team and the Cowboys and whip them. I've seen them take care of business against a good football team in the Chargers and whip them. Not just beat them, just whip them. So you're going to have to take care of your business. You know, the two that you got to take care of your business, you got to take care of the Lions and the Bengals. And then you got to beat the Raiders on the road. And then after that, it's like, okay.
You
got to
find another win.
You got to find another one. Which, I'm not scared of the Chargers on the road.
No.
And
I mean, you could lose, but that doesn't, right.
It's not like,
scary.
Oh my gosh, we're playing the Chiefs in Kansas City
right.
to try to, it's not to that degree.
Right.
Or going, you know, play right now like the Patriots.
Right.
The Bills on the road. No. Something's not right with the Chargers.
Something's not right with the Chargers. Something looked right with the Broncos this past week, and we got an announcement this morning regarding one Bronco that is now in rarefied air. We'll tell you what you need to know coming up next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50, Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Stokely and Zach.
What an exciting game that awaits Broncos country. I mean, like, So Stoke, I look forward to every Broncos game.
You got that pizza on the way, by the way?
Got it taken care of, brother.
Okay. All right, just checking.
Got it taken care of.
I won again. I got one in the bank. Got one banked, you know, still waiting.
See, but there, you know.
Nah, I see nothing.
Can you really, like,
oh, yeah,
can you really, like.
You can bank it. Yeah, rollover minutes. Rollover pizza.
I mean, you know. Can you really, like, collect on lunches if you don't come to work for two straight weeks?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, like you that. Is, like
they don't go away.
Like, that is what is preventing me from paying off the debt is, like, you're just not around.
I was around the week before, but it was a short week, Thanksgiving week. We went to Blake Street Tavern on Wednesday. I mean, so, you know, yeah.
I don't know.
But I'm dominating. I'm back.
You're not dominating. Actually losing on the season.
I am dominating.
Now, you've had like a nice couple quarters. You know what I mean?
Dominating.
But like the scoreboard says 7-5. So, you know.
That's still, we got to get our count
what is that?
Firm, on that. Look, check that out.
It's pretty just cut and dry.
All I know is like the last, I don't know, what's it been, three in a row?
It's been a nice stretch for you. Yeah. I will not, and like I'm freely admitting that. Nice stretch for you. Also, illuminating the fact that, you know, I'm ahead of you on the season. So don't sprain your ankle on your victory lap.
Oh, I am.
The pizza is coming.
Yeah, okay.
I was badgering them. I called twice because they didn't pick up the phone. They don't open until 11. The guy says, as soon as the clock hits 11, that ticket is going to print. We're going to, he said, you're our first delivery of the day.
Love it.
Thank
there
you, Cody.
Go. Good job.
All right. We got an announcement this morning regarding one Bronco that is now in rarefied air. Yesterday on the air, predicted that he was going to win this award. There was some stiff competition, by the way. We went over the candidates, some of the weeks that some of these guys had. Your Raging Cajun had himself a week there in San Francisco. It was like 168 yards from scrimmage. Elijah
Mitchell.
Yeah. That was pretty stiff competition. But Pat Surtain being named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. This is not like a rookie award. This is the Defensive Player of the Week for Week 12. Surtain recorded his first multi-interception game of his career on Sunday against the Chargers. He had five tackles. Four of them were solo, but he gets this award because he picked off Justin Herbert twice in the fourth quarter, returned that second one 70 yards to the house. He is the first Broncos rookie. All right, pay attention to the sentence. This is rarefied air. He is the first Broncos rookie and first NFL rookie in six seasons to record multiple interceptions, including a pick six in the same game. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, he played great.
Where you have two picks and one of them is to the crib. He becomes just the fourth Broncos rookie to win AFC Defensive Player of the Week honors. Remember who did it last? 2019?
No.
Draymond Jones did it. In 2019, we saw a linebacker, Von Miller, do it in 2011, and we saw DJ Williams do it back in 2004. So doesn't happen a lot. Winning an award like this, a weekly award like this, kudos and hats off to Pat Surtain.
Yeah, really cool honor for him. He played great, And we've talked a lot about him and where he was drafted and who was drafted after him. And, you know, he needs to play like this. This is what you got to have from him. You need that lockdown, shutdown corner. And this is only year one. It should only get better and better. So it's been fun to watch. And when you project and look towards the future, it gets you even more excited because we talk a lot about Micah Parsons, and we could have had this guy, three-down linebacker, a guy that can play multiple positions. He can rush the passer. He can go to inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't see that. And how long have we looked for an inside linebacker for? A long, long time. You didn't pick this guy. This guy's going to, you know, Micah Parsons won a defensive rookie of the year.
He's going to win that award.
And you know, you passed on that guy. So the other guy that you pick has got to be really, really good.
Exactly.
And Surtain is certainly living up to those expectations, and he is delivering.
He is delivering. You know, the guy who fell in for you yesterday.
Who was that? Who do we have a fill in?
James Marillac.
Oh, good old James.
Now, James.
How's my buddy doing?
James and I disagreed on a lot over the course of 3 hours
yesterday.
Were
y'all yelling at each other?
No, it was very respectful disagreement. But one of the points of, and I understood what he was trying to say. I really did. But when you talk about the degree of difficulty of the plays that Pat Surtain made, you say what?
I see where you're going here. Yeah, not difficult.
The first interception was way underthrown. He just turned around. If he, I told James, I agreed. If he didn't put his hand up, it would have hit him right in the chest.
Right. It was right to him.
Right to him.
Easy, easy interception. Second one, you know, batted ball right up in the air. Another easy interception, right? I get it, but you got to put yourself in position to make those plays, okay? And then you have to make them. I've seen guys drop easy interceptions.
We have.
All the time. It just happens. So you got to make the play, right? First, you got to put yourself in that position to make the play.
I like that.
Okay? And then you got to go out there and make the play. And some of them are easy, some of them are not. I mean, tip ball against Cincinnati. Look, I mean, how hard was that to catch that ball just floating down? I mean, but I got to put myself in that position, right?
And you were there.
And I was there.
So,
but it, like, so I get what James is saying, and I understand they were easy. And, you know, I mean, Austin Ekeler just bats it up in the air. And it was a miscommunication between those guys a little bit, and where that's the problem when you got a running back out there. He sits out there, and sometimes he goes in. Sometimes he just sits there. And then, you know, the quarterback thinks, oh, he's going to sit out there. And then all of a sudden he starts moving in, and you throw the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and he can't hit it, tip up, easy pick. But you got to put yourself in the position to do it. So I can't take anything away from him just because it wasn't a diving interception or a one-handed interception. A pick's a pick.
Pick's a pick.
Even if it's an easy one, bat it up. You got to put yourself in that position to make the play.
And that was more or less what I said to James. Because how many times, I mean,
just not as well articulated.
No, I added even more context with past examples, so don't get ahead of yourself. But I did say I would expect any Broncos cornerback to make those plays.
Right.
Like, I would. But we've seen Michael Ojemudia drop interceptions.
Ooh.
We've seen it plenty.
Yeah.
Justin Simmons had two different chances on Sunday.
He had an easy one.
He had an easy one. And he dropped it.
Yep.
So let's not act like, you know, every time that there's a chance to capitalize on a pick that it's capitalized on. So I mean,
when was the last time that we had a game? I'm sure y'all talked about it, where a player had, well, Justin Simmons had two, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't happen a lot. He had two against, who was that against? Was that Washington?
Washington, yeah. That's right. End of the half and right. End of the game,
end of the
I think,
half,
right?
End of the game. Hail Mary before half and pretty much a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
Those are easy picks.
Right.
Like, those are lollipops. Like,
but it just doesn't happen. You still got to get two.
Sure.
It's like scoring three touchdowns in a game or two touchdowns in a game. Like, sometimes they're easy. They blow the coverage, but you still got to make the play.
Right.
You still got to do something.
Right.
So you can't take everything away from the guy just because, you know, Ekeler, like, volleyballed it up for him and just because Herbert made a bad decision. I just don't.
Guess what? If you go on YouTube and pull up Champ Bailey's career highlights, there's some easy picks.
Oh, there's a lot of them. But you got to put yourself
make
in that
play.
Situation
right.
To make the play. Then you got to still make the play.
That's right. That's right. So,
but look, he played great, and he continues to play really well, and the future's bright. It's a position. It's one of those premium positions. And
top five positions.
You needed to,
yep.
You know, like, like you say, you bring up a good example when you talk about the NBA draft and, you know, who passed on Jordan. You know, Houston doesn't talk about it.
No.
They got Hakeem Olajuwon. So they got a really good basketball player over there that's a Hall of Famer.
Yep, all-timer.
Brought him to they won a few championships.
Yeah, two championships, yep.
So, like, Mac Jones, I mean, that's a different position. And, yeah, if he continues to do it, that's going to really hurt. But a guy like Micah Parsons, if you got a great one, they got a great one. Okay, it's all good.
Yep.
You still got a great one also.
Right. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully this one pans out. But I can't wait to watch the next football game that Pat Surtain plays. You know, I'm just eager to continue to watch him grow. So kudos on winning the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. As we prepare for the massive game that is looming on Sunday Night Football, primetime showdown against Kansas City, we take a look back at where this losing streak began. We'll hop in the time machine, coming up next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Been a while since what?
We beat the Chiefs.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that's when you look back at 2015, Zach, I mean, that was 2 years after I retired. I mean, it's like I was still playing.
I was just going to ask because we had Noah on yesterday. I said, what were you doing in September of 2015? And he said, I was getting ready for my junior year of basketball.
Wow.
Think about that. He's in year three.
Yeah.
You went to college in between that. I mean, it's you know, you laugh so you don't cry. It's been years. Stoke, this is our fifth football season doing this show together. We've never came in there on a Monday after the Broncos beat the Chiefs.
Nope. Had some chances.
Had some chances. But as we prepare for that Sunday night game, we look back to where this losing streak began.
November 15th, 2015, on a day at Mile High when Peyton Manning became the NFL's all-time leading passer.
Manning throwing outside. That is complete to Hillman out of bounds at the 22-yard line. That is a 4-yard pickup and a brand new record, 71,840 yards.
Manning also found himself pulled with a 0.0 passer rate.
Manning on second and 10, and this pass Sean Smith down at about midfield. And once again, Manning is picked.
While the Broncos rallied after the loss to win a Super Bowl championship, who would have known this game would kick off an 11-game losing streak to the Kansas City Chiefs? Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
It's a big football game in December for the Denver Broncos for the first time in years. Forget the Chiefs. It's a big football game for the Broncos in the month of December for the first time in years.
On prime time.
On prime time,
on
baby.
On the big stage, right? You got moved up.
Got flexed in.
You got moved up. Don't hurt yourself trying to flex that little bicep you got going on
hey,
there.
Nothing little about it, man.
Yeah, you almost started cramping
right
there.
Pair of pythons. I did almost start cramping.
I had that happen to me the other night. Like, oh, wow. Why am I cramping? Why is my leg cramping here? Huge game. You got flexed up. You're on the big stage, right? You got nothing this year. You got the freebie, the Thursday night game. Well, now you played well enough here to deserve to be flexed against a good team. How do you show up? Or do you just, you know, go back to what we've seen here all too often where you get our hopes up and then you just, you know, don't show up?
Right.
I mean, I'm not really expecting them to go in there and beat the Chiefs. Not expecting
that. I thought this was the year that they beat the Chiefs.
They still play them one more time, Zach.
Okay?
And that's at home.
Because that was your grand prediction.
That's right.
Before the season.
That's right.
You said, this is the year the Broncos beat the Chiefs. But then you sold that prediction.
I
was wrong about that.
I don't remember
these guys
that.
Aren't beating the Chiefs.
But I saw that little opinion
out there in the cold, and I said, come here, young child. You're now my opinion.
Sell.
The Broncos will beat the Chiefs, as I said. at some point this year.
Zach, don't take my predictions and try to steal them. Like, right? This has been my prediction, and so, but I'm not crazy enough to think that this week they're going to go into Kansas City and beat them. I'm not going to predict that. And some people might, and good for them, but Chiefs are starting to play good football. They're coming in off to after bye. Andy Reid hasn't lost after bye in like since he was like three, I think, you know.
I have the numbers. I'm going to give them to you later in the show.
Okay. So, look, it's – but I want them to show up.
Mm.
Just show up.
What does that look like?
A competitive football game in the fourth quarter where I'm sitting at the edge of my seat and I'm like, okay, they got a chance to win this thing. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see a Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers type of game, Eagles game. Show up and be competitive.
Well, when this losing streak started, you heard the highlights from it, and it was.
Why do we have to even go back and that game makes me sick to my stomach?
Why?
Because I was there.
Mm.
I was there. I was watching that game
to see Peyton break the record.
Yes, and that game, I'll never forget. I'll never forget just the sick feeling I had. Well, that's a good friend of mine.
Right.
You see him struggling like that, knew he was injured, and what he was trying to, you know, fight through and play through.
Do you remember what the injury was at the time?
Yeah, it was his foot. He had foot deals going on. And you know, it's it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun watching that. When you see – you know, somebody, especially like as prideful as he is and takes so much pride in going out there and being there for his teammates. And, you know, you're banged up. Should he have played? Should he not have played? Probably shouldn't have played with this injury. Should have rested it. And then goes out there and plays like that. Just sick to my stomach. I mean, I just remember sitting, you know, I was in his box just sitting there and you're just like, holy, you don't know. I didn't know what to say. Didn't know what to do. Just sick to my stomach that.
Did you end up talking to him after the game?
I don't remember if I talked to him after that game, but I, not on that Sunday, but early in that week, yes, went by and saw him. So it's there was a few times during that season where there was a few conversations that we had that were just were not – it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Wasn't good.
Yeah.
After the Colts game with that injury and then after this game. So – but – so that's where it brings me back to, just a sickening feeling watching your friend go through something like that.
And you talk about the conflict of, and probably there wasn't any conflict of emotions, probably just upset and disappointed and frustrated and, you know, agony and whatever that you'd want to fill in the blank there. But I was going to say, like, the conflict of these two things happening simultaneously. Like, you are becoming the all-time passer in the history of NFL football. And it comes on a game you have a 0.0 passer rating. That was a one-off. Like, that only happened one time in the history of his career. And it comes on the night that you break the all-time passing record.
And you can't finish the game.
And you can't finish a game. Like, the intersection of those two things are so... I don't know what adjective to put on it.
Yeah. When you take a step back and you look at it like that, like, okay, it's supposed to be such a great day. And it ended up being, like, one of the worst days ever.
Right.
It's like awful day. Not anything that you ever want to remember.
Right.
Or reflect on.
Right.
Because it was awful.
Gosh. Crazy. And he sets the record on a little 4-yard like swing pass. Like,
is that what it was?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then at the end of it, you get whipped. You know, it's like, who cares?
Right.
Like, who really cares?
Right.
It's not how you want to do it. And then now you're looking at the rest of the season and what's going to happen, what's going to go on. You know, a guy like that's always been able to play through injuries. He's played through so many injuries. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, the neck deal, he tried to, you know, play through that, had to have surgery. But, you know, because you want to be accountable. You want to show up for your teammates. And with that issue that he had, he just obviously just couldn't do it. And it was just not fun at all. But it should have been, right?
It should have been. Unfortunately, it wasn't. Despite breaking the record, Peyton – did not throw a touchdown that day, threw four interceptions and averaged 1.8 yards per completion on 5 of 20. So obviously, Just crazy to look back at it. He's not listening right now and just texted you, did he?
No.
Okay.
No.
Golly.
My son, who's supposed to be in school right now, texted me a picture of Mike Krzyzewski. He's such a hater.
Because they lost last night to Ohio State.
Yeah, he's such a hater.
Just randomly, like, sending you. Good. I like that.
Yeah, such a
hater. I like
hater.
That.
Such a hater.
I like that.
Goodness.
Hey, you want to know what? He learned from you. He learned from you. I got three different unsolicited gifts of pizza here in the last 5 days. So I love it. I love it. Twist the knife.
Seriously.
Send Coach K out the right way. Capital L against Ohio State.
What happened in that game? They were up 9 with like 5-6 minutes left or something. Next thing you know, I looked up and they lost.
Momentum is a crazy thing. Momentum is a crazy thing.
Take him on a trip for 2 days and, you know, all this and then.
I love
low
it.
Low blow from left field.
Richie said, just in my ear right now, he said, well, how many gifts did you send me of Michigan State?
That's right.
Well,
and how many gifts did you send about pizza whenever you win? So you're the one that started it. Now, let's not forget that. You act like you don't send stuff and you don't do things like that. You started it.
No.
So whenever I win.
You pick on me.
I'm going to take it. Advantage
of all carcass.
Always picking on me. Bullying me.
You gonna report me to HR? Huh?
I'm thinking about it. All right. What does Uncle Vic Fangio have to say ahead of the biggest game of his head coaching career? We're going to hear from the Broncos head coach coming up next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Vic Fangio at the podium. Let's go live to Dove Valley.
Go over a couple injuries on who's not practicing.
Yeah, Melvin won't practice. Obviously, Calvin won't. Sobert won't. Dalton won't. And Shelby won't. But I think most of those guys, not including Calvin, should be able to go tomorrow.
Melvin is the hip.
Yeah, hip and a shoulder a little bit, but a hip, yeah.
And then Sobert?
Ankle.
Do you have any more of a timetable on Calvin Anderson?
No. I think it's in that 2-4 range. So George is going to have to decide whether to put him on IR by the end of the week or not.
With Garrett Bowles, is he still on the protocol?
He is, but he'll be here tomorrow.
What's the status of his ankle?
We think good. You know, we haven't seen him. Since he tested positive, but we were planning on him playing last week before he did, so assuming we'll see when he gets here tomorrow.
When a player is away like that on COVID, what do you guys leave him with instructions on rehab and rest for the ankle? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the meetings via Zoom. We give him instructions on rehab. He's told me on several occasions he's been working out like crazy. He didn't get sick at all, so we'll see.
Will Bryce start his clock today?
I don't think so, but maybe.
Where do you stand with Kareem Jackson?
He should be good to go. He's on here, but limited. He's going to practice today.
Well, how did Teddy make it through the last couple of days with his leg?
Good. He's on here too. Actually, he's not on here at all. So that answers that.
How about Andy's offense where he's got a lot of motion, look over here, deception over there? Does that make it difficult to get your guys to stay disciplined?
Yeah. It's a difficult offense to defend by the design of it. Like things you alluded to, the motion, it's a spread out offense. And the guys running the offense are really, really fast. So you add those ingredients and then put Mahomes in there. You know, they're running similar offense that they ran with Alex Smith was there, but, you know, Mahomes is Mahomes, and that makes it a lot better.
When you've slowed him down, does it feel like you've been able to have some success against Mahomes, or because they win?
No, I mean, we got to win the game, you know, and we haven't, you know, some of those games, like the first game last year, the stats looked good, but, I mean, they scored on defense. They scored in the special teams. The game got out of hand, so.
Mahomes has thrown a lot more interceptions this year than he has the past 2 years. What have you seen in his game that has led to some doing
Yeah, and they came early. You know, they haven't happened recently. So they got off to a slow start for them. And that's when the bulk of his interceptions came. And, you know, I've seen all their games, but obviously focusing more on the more recent 6 to 8. And they're not showing up like they never did before either. He's, you know, that he was rare in that regard through his early career here, that bunch of touchdowns and hardly any interceptions like Aaron Rodgers. And then he had the start to this season, which was out of character for him, but he's back to normal.
They've shown more balance with the run game. Is that priority for you to try to make them one-dimensional? They've shown more balance recently in the run game.
Yeah. Everybody's been playing them so, you know, far back, you know, with the safeties and stuff, that the run is there for them. And a lot, and they're actually calling more runs than you guys are seeing statistically, because they're calling runs that turn into passes with the RPOs. So Andy's really calling more runs that are showing up statistically because of the RPO throws that are coming. So they do have more balance. They got good backs. They've retooled their offensive line from last year. And they're really good.
Coach Reed said he wasn't all that aware of the current streak, the 11-game losing streak the Broncos had to the Chiefs, or in their case, the winning streak. Does that matter to you? Is that a point of conversation and motivation?
No.
Theron Browning's obviously been playing well lately. What are your hopes for him for the rest of the season? Like, what can he accomplish these last 6-7 games?
Just to keep getting better. You know, he's making small strides daily in practice, and hopefully those strides show in the games. But we're talking about a guy that didn't do anything until late in camp and then had some injuries. But he's working hard at it. He's spending a lot of extra time studying. He's prideful. He wants to do well. He understands the responsibility he has right now. And he wants to uphold his end of the bargain. And he's doing everything he can to do that.
Vic, he said he meets with you one-on-one a bunch.
Yeah, he does some.
How does that go with him? What do you like about meeting with a player one-on-one like that?
Well, you know, I say, hey, what do you got for me? You know, questions, anything confusing to you? You know, he watches a lot of film on his own. I tell him to write it down, what play he's talking about, or he'll text me and I'll look at it and get back to him. But, yeah, you know, 15, 20 minutes here and there. During a day, and just go over stuff. And, you know, sometimes you fall into something where he really didn't, he thought he knew, but he didn't, you know, and he didn't, to the point where he didn't even ask, just kind of through the conversation, something comes up and whoa, no, you know, and he's like, you know, so sometimes you fall into a nugget.
The numbers suggest that your running backs have been used a lot more in the passing game this year than they were a year ago. How much of that was by design? How much of that is kind of Teddy just being more willing to look for them as an outlet?
I think it's both. You know, I think it's quarterback driven a little bit. It's play calling driven a little bit. I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's everything you mentioned.
You mentioned their offensive line and kind of retooling. What have you made of that group, especially?
They got two good rookies that are playing. They got Brown, who they got from the Ravens, who's a good player. Thuney was a high-priced free agent. They spent their money. You know, they felt they had to improve that, and they didn't go halfway in. They went all in on it, and it's been reflective in their play.
Vic, you talked last week about the energy you felt from the guys as they returned from the bye. You have your finger on the pulse of this team. What's the energy this week? We all know what's at stake on Sunday night. What are you feeling thus far?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, it's like somebody mentioned the other day, Sunday night is the game. So the players get amped up for it. So I don't think we'll have an issue being emotionally ready, besides playing the Chiefs, who have been the best team in football the last 3 years.
Vic, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He played twice a year for a bunch of years. What types of similarities, if any, do you see between him and Patrick?
They are similar. Because of their creativity, because of their ability to throw the ball from different arm angles, ability to throw the ball from different, where their feet are. And the accuracy and the quick release. They're very similar.
Vic, it seems like they both also, when they scramble, don't try to go out wide. They like to scramble kind of up through the middle. So what do you kind of...
They do or don't.
Do. They both like to, you know, climb forward and...
Yeah.
In that sense. What do you tell your D-line in that sense? They don't try to go out wide. They try to...
I think they do. They do. They do both. You know, if you leave the middle wide open, he'll take off. You know, like a lot of good scramblers that are good passers, they like to float either side and hope somebody comes open, and they're looking to throw all the time. But if you leave it wide open, they'll take off. You know, and he's got 240 yards rushing or something this year.
From your experience,
what was your reaction to Surtain being player of the week, and what sort of challenge does he have ahead of him this weekend?
I was happy for Pat. You know, it was obviously I thought he deserved it. He's had a good season for us, been a great pick for us. We're thrilled to have him. You know, all good stuff. You know, our DBs have a big challenge. Our whole defense does. You know, they got speed galore. They throw it deep. They run good after the catch. So, you know, it's being all-day sucker for everybody on defense.
Coach, would you ever consider using Patrick Surtain on special teams or even offense?
No, not on offense.
Special teams?
Possibly.
In your experience,
what's that?
You use him against Kelsey? Does he fit that profile?
Yeah, he could, you know, but everybody has to be able to move around then.
Your experience,
last question, Andrew Mason.
From your experience in film study, what are kind of the best practices against Kelsey? Is it corner, safety, coverage, linebacker, some combo?
Yeah, it's a combination. You know, when you get a tight end that's a really good receiver like he is, everybody automatically thinks, well, you got to put a DB on him. Well, they can out-muscle the DBs, too. You know, he's 260 pounds. You know, so you have to battle that part of it. And then you put a linebacker on him, you know, you got to battle that this guy's real nifty and a good receiver. And what compounds it is the karma him and Mahomes have together. So it's just got to be a mix of guys. All right, thank you.
All right, there was Vic Fangio. Lots to react to ahead of Sunday's massive game against the Chiefs, and we'll do it next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.